After 24 years as film critic at The New Yorker, Pauline Kael recently retired. Some of her most careful readers have been fellow critics. Our book critic John Leonard is no exception. He has a review of her new collection, Movie Love, Complete Reviews 1988 to 1991.
Movie Love is the last of 10 collections of Pauline Kael's caustic, canny, cranky, in-your-face, below-the-belt, know-it-all, warrior woman film reviews. Among the movies she likes too much are Casualties of War and The Fabulous Baker Boys. Among the movies she doesn't like enough are Born on the 4th of July and Dancing with Wolves. She's right about Batman, though she might have noticed that Jack Nicholson was impersonating Richard Nixon. Well, I've been reading Kael for 3 decades. I stopped entirely trusting her in 1972, after she made me go see Last Tango in Paris. I stopped speaking to her a couple of years after that, when she left New York for the North Woods. But how dare she quit on us? Didn't Picasso go on doodling into his 90s? Without these hungry minotaurs, in their labyrinths, to whom shall we feed the yearly crop of virgins? It's not the first time she's quit on me, and a lot of good it did her. Back in Berkeley in the early 60s, I was in charge of drama and literature programming at the Pacifica radio station. Kael reviewed movies for us. When I slotted her for 15 minutes, she took 30. When I scheduled her for 30, she took 45. When I complained, she quit on me, on the air. To our vast audience in the Bay Area, she said, "After a million words for love, I'm going to start doing it for money." For money, Kael started doing it at McCall's. They fired her after she panned The Sound of Music, calling Julie Andrews super goody two-shoes. At Life, before it died for people's sins, they wouldn't publish her classic account of the making of the movie version of the group. At the New Republic, readers were outraged by her savaging of Antonioni's blow-up. That left The New Yorker. On William Shawn's radio, she could talk all night. And it didn't matter whether you agreed with her. On Ingmar Bergman, for instance, the Billy Graham of the post-analytic set. Or Dirty Harry, is this the last outpost for the Western hero, killing homosexuals to purify the cities? It was enough that she took her wit and intelligence with her, into the cave of what she calls this bastard cross-fertilized super art, that she sought a vision, a white whale like Moby Dick, but that she'd settle for style, audacity, or craziness, those moments of pleasure that are cleansing or subversive. She's seen it all. She forgets none of it. This makes for an awesome, if somehow casual, authority. For example, she has written, "I don't think there has ever been a good kidnapping for ransom movie. I don't know why, any more than I know why when opera singers go into the movies, the baritones can act, but the tenors can't." Is this true? Who cares? Wilford Sheed has described movies not as Moby Dick, but as a fur-bearing, duck-billed moneymaker, which occasionally stumbles into art and out again as if it were Mr. Magoo. About this creature, you could talk to Pauline Kael. So she was wrong about Last Tango. She was right about Nashville and the Warriors. I rose to her defense when Renata Adler attacked her in the New York Review of Books. I attacked her myself when she misread Milan Kundera's The Unbearable Lightness of Being. But it never occurred to me until now that I'd have to go to a movie without her.
John Leonard is media critic for CBS Sunday Morning. He reviewed Pauline Kael's new book, Movie Love, Complete Reviews, 1988 to 1991.